In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord God, in all our doing with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, may we glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed.
A reading from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me, so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider where he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple If you do not give up all your possessions, the gospel of the Lord. So I have a question for you this morning. Not surprising, because I usually have a question. How many of us like to move, to change houses, pack everything up? Anybody? Oh, I saw a finger pointed to somebody. Not really, huh? You know, I'm with the United Methodist Church, and we are itinerant pastors, so that means that if the bishop calls you up or the district superintendent and says you're going, you move. And so during my course of years of appointments, when I was moving from church to church, I went to various ones over the course of 30 years, and it was so awesome to meet and experience faith from so many different folks across those years. Yet moving is hard work. You know the drill. We have to pack the boxes. Well, we have to sort the stuff. We have to pack the boxes. Then we have to deliver the items. We have to unpack. We have to cancel service, set up service. Whew, it's exhausting. And when you get into the new place, then you have to start decorating the new digs, right? All of that takes choices. As hard as physically moving is from one location to another, it is often harder even to make an internal move. You know what I mean by an internal move? When you're not holding that grudge any longer. When you've been able to forgive someone that truly, deeply hurt you. Those are internal moves of one action in our thoughts, in our feelings toward another. Anybody ever hear of the author and deceased priest Henry Nouwen? Yes, yes, of my buddy there. So Henry Nouwen is one of our great 20th century spiritual authors. And folks will be reading him for 100 more years. One of his books is called The Inner Voice of Love. And in it, he states how very difficult it is to move from the house of fear within our hearts, the house of despondency, the house of depression, to the house of love. He writes this, and I read it quoting, saying, "Every time you experience the pain of rejection, absence, or death," now, don't think of death just as the end of one's life. Every time relationship ends, every time there's transition, a new beginning, something old is done, is death. He continues, "You are faced with a choice. You can become bitter and decide not to love again, or you can stand up straight in your pain and let the soil on which you stand become richer and more able to give life to new seeds." Another author that I truly enjoy, Parker Palmer, puts it this way. He says, okay, so we've got a heart, right? That's my best heart shape I can do. You know, so we've got a heart, and sometimes it gets broken. Does it get broken so that we have these shards, sharp jabbing pieces? We're so angry, we're so hurt, we start skunking around. I'm hurt, so I'm going to make sure you hurt too. Or he says, we have a heart and it breaks all the way open. And right here at the bottom is where Henry Nouwen's talking about that new soil for a new seed, a hope of forgiveness, a new perspective. Something new blossoms up in us, and with our heart broken wide open, we are able to receive others, to receive God, to receive ourselves even more Christ-like in our humanity, because this has us closed unto ourselves. But when it opens all the way up, it is a heart broken open for God. Moses says in our Deuteromeristic reading this morning. The choice is yours. This is his final sermon to the Israelites. They've covered a lot of ground, literally, a lot of ground together, and a lot of spiritual ground together. This is his very last sermon that he speaks to the Israelites. He's been their pastor a very long time. Why, it started way back in Egypt. Do you remember? That Moses brought them through the wilderness with the Exodus. And they stayed in that wilderness with Moses as a pastor for 40 years. Then they went into the Promised Land. And now they're in exile again because their actions, their behavior, their thoughts, their choices in life caused them to break covenant with God. Now, it's easy to look back and say, you know, I wouldn't ever do that. I wouldn't ever break covenant. But did anybody ever tell a white lie? Just a little one. You broke covenant. Did anybody ever have a nice thought that you should do something? I should write that note to somebody. But you didn't follow through. You broke covenant. Did anybody ever raise their voice at somebody else because they're mad? You broke covenant. So, this day, the chapter 15 in Deuteronomy is his full speech, and we're only getting the little last end of it, but we're getting the part that he says, the choice is ours every day, every moment. How will we choose to live from the house of love, God's heart, in all of our actions? This is the question that he's addressing the community. He wants people to be very intentional in the choices that the community makes. And he's not talking to folks that are doing pretty good in the faith. He's talking to those that are demoralized, confused, apathetic people who are living in an economic ruin, politically divided, and spiritually demoralized exile, away from God. Moses is appealing to them to awaken, reawaken their faith. He's encouraging them to have hope. He introduces a new dimension of hope. Because often hope is seen as situational. I hope we'll get out of this tight spot in the traffic jam. I hope things will change with my daily living. I hope I'm able to do whatever it is. No longer, says Moses, can their hope be placed on getting them out of a mess in cultural living, not situational hope. Hope can no longer be just to avert catastrophic pain. I hope it doesn't thunderstorm when I'm trying to walk out of church today. Don't want to get hit with lightning. Situational. I hope death doesn't come too quickly. I hope the violence of inner city Columbus doesn't come all the way out here to the country. I hope the disaster of injustice and evil doesn't befall upon my grandchildren as they go through junior high and high school with the drug culture and all that's around. Moses is saying hope is much more foundational than that. It is a renewal of covenant. It is realigning ourselves in right relationship, in recovery of our heart house, so that we're no longer living in a house of fear or a house of depression, despondency, apathy, that we moved into God's heart house of love. Moses is urging the Israelites, let's face it, you all are human. Recognize you have past failures. Accept them. Accept responsibility for them. Tell it to God. And meanwhile, at the same time, Moses is saying that he recognizes, because the Israelites are so human, this hope is not something that they can initiate on their own. We cannot, without God, have hope. And so Moses is inviting them to recognize that God is the source of our new beginnings, individually and culturally, that God is our hope. God is the moving van that moves us from the house of fear into the house of love. If, this is a big, big if they choose to be formed more deeply in their inward nature, their attitudes, their behaviors, their thought patterns, to become even more Christ-like, God-like love, that is, Moses says that you obey and you follow and you lean into the character of God, God will renew their lives. The community of the Israelites, like our modern day society, I believe, is given a choice. Will the people individually and collectively in community choose to live as God loves as frequently as you take a breath? How many breaths have you had since you've been sitting here? Have you been counting? I don't know. Quite a few. And the Holy Spirit comes in, and our resistance, the house of fear, goes out. Moses is speaking timeless truths. The choice to allow God to be the greatest influence in how we respond to others, in how we engage with our days, in how we honor and worship God, even in our own families. Because somehow we get very comfortable with the ones we see day in and day out, year after year. And sometimes they're the ones that get our worst behavior. Not saying any fingers, but on occasion, we must live our faith out in our expressions, in our behaviors, in our words. You know, yesterday I sat down at the computer and opened it up, and lo and behold, this never happens, a horoscope thing popped up. Now I thought, I haven't checked a horoscope since I've been in junior high school, so what the heck? Now you need to know a little back history. My brother and sister-in-law came down from Cleveland. They were coming down yesterday because we'd been debating and talking to car dealers all week, and we've been seeing what we can do for me to buy a car. So then before they got there at my house, this horoscope pops up on my screen, and I just said, what the heck? I might as well look at it just to see, right? You ready? Today, which was yesterday, will be turbulent emotionally and materially. Thinking about car buying, but stay the course. Remain cool and calm. And I read that as God saying, you know what? It is a little stressful. It is a little difficult. A lot goes into that.
stay this way, so you have that place of new heart, new possibility. The current reality of our nation appears that a lot of folks kind of take religion and faith nominally. Only, you know, yeah, I believe in God. Don't do much about it, but I believe in God. To cover our bases for that ultimate time when we die. I've been saying I believe in God. I haven't done anything with it. Somehow, our nation is not necessarily central on the attributes of Christ. Looking at the ways injustice has happened, looking at the ways we speak to one another, the rise of child abuse, especially through the pandemic, when everything was shut down and there were no reporters in the schools of teachers for those children. Moses is saying, faith is not on the side. Faith in Christ is the central part of our lives. Make that choice. I don't know that we always do. One of the pieces of work that I do is read dissertations for doctoral ministry students so that they can have their defense and talk about why they've written, why it is, and if we passed them or not. So one of the students coming up for defense has written a 400-page dissertation. She's in Chicago and has the topic and did her research with a handful of parents in a church that are already coming to church to see how they parent their children in a way that faith is central. She did an 8-week study with them, and the results, I won't give you the whole 400 pages, don't worry. But the result was the parents realized after 8 weeks that they needed to deepen, to move out of some of the house of encumberment and more into the house of the heart of God, so that they can have hope and a possibility of forming their children even more Christ-like. Christian identity is more than just what church do you belong to. It is intimately allowing ourselves, seeking intentionally, to be informed and formed, informed that we know, that we read, that we study, but formed that we allow the breath of God to do what is impossible for humanity to do, to change our attitudes and our mannerisms and our thoughts, our emotions, into more Christ-like behavior. It is so easy for us to fall into a place of despair, to let that dominant disease of, I'm too tired, I don't have the energy, quickly and drastically, inflation is rising, hanging many people over on the margins of their lives, stressing out families, individuals, for financial viability. Many children grow up in households with deprivation. Adults are often unemployed or underemployed and don't feel like they're making a mark. They don't feel like they're making a difference. And billions of people across our world are socially alienated in one form of public humiliation, injustice, prejudice. So in this environment, not Israel's environment, but in our modern day environment, it is crucial, not optional, that we open up ourselves all the way with that intentional choice of coming before God and moving out of the house of whatever resistance, whatever fears, whatever doubts, whatever it is that plagues us, and into the heart house of God. If you're looking for a place to start, I write a blog mostly every week, and you can check it out, because it's moving from the house of fear into the house of love this past week that came out. See how they correspond to the sermon? You know. So, how does God invite you to choose this day? How do you feel entrapped in anything? Worry, concern. This day, God desires for us to have even greater stability in the house and heart of God's love. May it be so. As Moses says, today you have a choice. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. We pray for the church around the world and for the mission of the gospel. Refresh the hearts of your people, deepen our understanding of every good thing we share, and strengthen our partnerships in the faith. God of grace, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, Brenda, our presiding minister today, all pastors, deacons, Stephen ministers, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God of grace, for the well-being of the earth and all its creatures, for trees and forests, for all that will yield fruit this season, and for streams and other bodies of water. God of grace, for the nations and those in authority, for the elected leaders of our towns, states, and country, and for international organizations, grant wisdom to those who govern and raise up citizens who make decisions in the best interest of their neighbors. God of grace, for all in need, for those who suffer from disease, who struggle with homelessness or food insecurity, for those whose family life is difficult, and for all in this community who need your care. Especially do we pray for Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Amber, Pat, Andrea, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Betty, Stan, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, Mark, and our homebound. God of grace, for this community of faith, for all our labors, begun, continued, and ended in you, that they glorify your holy name. Bless your people with the strength to live into their many vocations for the sake of the world. God of grace. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade and Luke and their chaplains. God of grace. We give thanks for the saints who now rest from their labors, especially Peter Claver, priest and missionary. Give us faith, like them, to love you with all our hearts, and by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. God of grace.
Gathered into the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share our morning offering this day.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts in heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, we praise and glorify. You we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos. You encircled the globe with air. You created fire for warmth and light. You nourished the lands and water. You molded us in your image, and with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own, that also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit. You called to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, and he gave thanks, gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your Son, the firstborn of new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming when the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us and this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire rouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food, nurture in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petition. As Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing until needy are no longer bound to you in love. We feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb, through all whom all glory and honor is yours. O God, O living one, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for now all is ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Are there announcements?
One quick announcement. As you probably received when you came in today, that Pastor Adam will be celebrating his 40th birthday. So we're going to have a light lunch on the 18th of September. So obviously we'd love to have everybody attend.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John Lutheran Church, Windfall, is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacrament, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen.